I want to talk to us from a proverb today. The title of my talk is The Lord Directs Our Steps. So if we just put up the first slide, that'd be great. Thank you. Proverbs 16, verse 9. In the NSB, the mind of a man plans his way, but the Lord directs his steps. And I don't know about you, but I often think about life in terms of a walk. Maybe it's because I love walking in the mountains so much. It's full of good pictures, good stories, good illustrations, good metaphors for life. And on a walk, there are seasons when you just know where you're going and you just go flat out. You can go as fast as you like and you can just drive. It's like going down a motorway. You just go steaming along and you just go for it. You don't have to think too much. And then there are other seasons of life when you seem to come to a crossroads and the things are going to change. And you seem to have, all of a sudden, two, three, maybe four more opportunities. You think, which route do I take here? And it's at those points it's important that we slow down. It's important that we contemplate when we make those decisions. And do you ever think over your life, like I do, sometimes in the quietness of just thinking, think over your life and think about some of the decisions that you've made and wonder, just wonder, what if? What if I'd have chosen that other route that I didn't choose? Do you ever do that? Because it just seems bizarre to me, the way that life unfolds. It is like a walk. Because, you know, in a walk, you get to a certain point. I'm trapped by the wire now. You get to a certain point. I hate being trapped. You get to a certain point and you have choices. But if I hadn't made that choice, or this choice, or this choice, my choices would have been very different. And it's just, and you think back over your life, and you think, the crazy choices that we make. You know, the little things, sometimes the little things that have a big impact on our lives. Making a new friend just by being friendly, just by saying something to them, and all of a sudden, this whole new area of life opens up that you would never expect. Sometimes they're massive decisions, and you know they're big. And you wrestle with it before you make it. And you look back and think, how my life has been impacted by this. And I know this is a season when a lot of us are moving into new phases. It's a new academic year. A lot of change is happening. We've already prayed into a few things this morning. You know, massive changes coming for Warren and Jocelyn in this season. Massive changes for you, Pete, coming in this season. And it's good to know that the Lord directs our steps. And that's really the heart of what I want to say this morning. And try and unpack that a little bit. What does that mean? For the Lord to direct our steps. You know, I said I think back at how my life's been affected by choices, and I get amazed. I'll just give you one example for me, which was quite a big one. University. How did I end up going to the university I ended up going into? And you can see it's traced by all kinds of little things that impacted on that decision. First of all, I did mathematics at A-level, and I chose to specialise in that, in those kind of subjects, because, as you know, when I was growing up, I was a timid creature. Still am. And anything that involved doing anything which was subjective, other people had to comment on, other people could rate, I hated. I liked to do the things which were right or wrong. Black or white. So, you know, that way I was safe from other people's opinions of me. I really, you know, because I had such so small opinion of myself that I felt that, you know, I was just crushed by it. I needed a safer way. So I chose maths. And computer science, computers look fun. I was around in some of the early days, so, you know, ZX81s and Commodore PETs. I'm going to reminisce. The first Apples. Bless them. But and then I came to 17, 18, trying to choose which way to take, which path should I take on this next voyage of life? Which way should I go? I didn't have a clue. But I put down, a friend of mine was saying he was doing maths and computer science. And I thought, maths and computer science? I didn't know you could do two. That sounds great. So I put that down on my ACCA form, maths and computer science. That sounds, which courses do that? I looked it up in the books and started to search through. And I thought, oh, Bath sounds nice. I put that down. I put down two or three universities. And Then my microphone was partly filled, and it came to the morning when it had to be filled in. My wife calls me lastminute.col, because I often leave things to the last minute. And it came to the morning when it had to be handed in, and it was still half filled. And I went to the little library area. I think, what can I do to fill in these last few paces? And I saw my friend there, who had put down the same course, and I just looked at his form, and I saw two universities that I didn't have on his list. And I thought, oh, I'll just put those in to fill up my form. So I put in, one of them was Brunel University, which I just put in at the bottom, number 5. And then I went to a few universities, and I really enjoyed going to Bath, really enjoyed going to Sussex. And I thought, well, yeah, they're the two. I'm putting Bath as my number 1, and if I don't get that grade for that, I'm going to put it in for Sussex. So I put, and I said to my parents, I'm not going to go to the others. You know, I don't want to go to Brunel. I don't want to go to, I don't even know where that is, Brunel. You know, it's in the Middle East. I don't want to go there, and I don't want to go to Hull. That's far too north. And even though I was born in Middlesbrough, I was always scared when I went up to visit my grandparents because the kids were so tough. And so I thought, no, I'm definitely going to stick to the south. I'm going to go to Bath or Sussex. Do you know? But you know what? My dad wouldn't let me. And you know, this is something. As I was preparing this is something that I didn't think about at the time. And I thought, actually, I need to thank my father. Because he didn't let me just choose that and go on. He said, no, come on, you put these other universities down. You need to go and visit the others. And he actually took a day off work and drove me up to Brunel University to make sure I went. And I was just going along just because he was making me, basically. I didn't have much choice. And we got there, and he stayed and waited outside all day for me. And do you know, the thing that happened that day, is the guy that showed us around, a guy called David Smallwood, is a lecturer there, he was lovely. He was really lovely. Out of all the universities I went to, he was the one I connected with. This happens, doesn't it, when you go and look around houses or go and look for job interviews. And he was the one I connected with, and I thought, do you know, actually, I really like this place. And I crossed out Sussex and put Brunel. But I'm just saying that because you'd see how these little things, the smile of a man who I'd never met before, the concern of a father for my future, a friend just giving me some information that I didn't have. All these things kind of come together and I ended up at Brunel. And if I hadn't ended up at Brunel, what would have happened to my life? That's serious implications for my life. Do you think about that? I wouldn't have met Mick Francis, my oldest and dearest friend, who's just turned 50. I wouldn't have met Matthew Flowerday, the guy who bought me a Bible in my third year, the guy who challenged me to read the Bible as an adult and slipped in a copy of Journey into Life by Norman Warren. I wouldn't have read that. I may not have got on my knees and prayed. God could have found me any other way, but that wouldn't have happened to me. I wouldn't have joined the church I joined. I wouldn't have met Rob Haywood, who led me to River Church, where I met my wife on holiday with Tony and Claire. You know, that these little things just have little things have massive ramifications, don't they, all down your life. Our steps are really important. It's good to know that God directs our steps. It's good to know that God directs our steps. I wouldn't have met Paul Turnbull and worked with him for 17 years. You know, and I used to think that the Lord had a plan for our lives. Had it all mapped out. That he knew exactly where it was going. All the days of my life were recorded in his book before one of them ever came to be. I used to believe that it was all done and dusted. And I just was walking out and it felt a bit odd, but that's what I believed. And even though I would make choices and make plans, actually God would determine my footsteps. And that I could actually make right or wrong choices. I could make a choice where I was following his path and a choice where I wasn't. I used to believe that. And you know, this week I had a young friend of mine whose son didn't get into the university he wanted. He planned to go to a particular university. He was dead set on it. Absolutely convinced it was going to be the right place for him to be. The right course. And he didn't get it. He was devastated. Absolutely devastated. absolutely devastated. And I felt a lot of compassion for him at the time. And that's what actually got me onto this proverb, because I texted his dad. I said, tell him about this proverb. Because in our hearts, in our minds, we plan our way, but the Lord directs our steps. I said, tell him about this problem. It'll encourage him. He may have made plans, but don't give up just because the plans haven't happened the way you thought they would happen. Be encouraged to know that God is with you and he is directing your steps. You know, we think of that verse in Jeremiah, don't we? Jeremiah 29, chapter 29, verse 11, where it says, I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Everyone who runs a Christian bookshop knows that verse. People buy it for each other all the time. I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to give you hope and a future, plans to prosper you, not to harm you. I used to think that it was all planned out. Not to worry, you don't have to worry. It's all planned out, you don't have to worry, do you? It's all done and dusted. But you see, if you understand the context of that verse, it's really important to know the context of a promise we're given like that. The reason that God told Jeremiah that was because there were false prophets in Babylon at the time, which is where the Jews were. And they were telling the people that God was going to break them out, break them free. Don't bother building houses, don't bother getting married, don't bother doing this and planting any grapes or vines, because actually, God's going to break us out any day now. His favour is on us. He's with us. We're going to get out of here. Hurrah. Hurrah. That's the message everybody wanted to hear, and that's the message they were giving. And Jeremiah said, no, don't do that. You're going to be here 70 years. Plant vineyards, sow fields, sow crops. Give away your daughters, your sons, build houses. You're going to be here a while. And pray for the prosperity of Babylon. Pray for the peace of Babylon, because it's going to be important for you in these next few years. That was the context, because I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. And I want to prosper you, not to harm you. I want to prosper you here. It's here for now. I'm going to take you back in 70 years, but it's here for now. I want to prosper you in this place. Not the place you thought you want to be, but the place where you are. I want to prosper you. So he was giving them a choice. Basically, there was a choice going on. Did you see what I mean? The false prophets were telling them, don't put down roots. God's going to deliver us. Be a bit rebellious, see if you can escape. Actually, the real prophet who was hearing the voice of the Lord was saying, no, that's not the way of life. This is the way of life here. Pray for the peace of Babylon. You're going to be here a while. There was choices in that. And he was trying to get them to make good choices. It wasn't the fact it was all mapped out. Little bits of it were. But not the whole detail. They had choices to make. And that's why he was speaking that verse. So I've long since rejected the idea that everything's been mapped out for us. Everything's been planned. And I've embraced a much more open view of the future, whereby it's a partnership, as we've already heard this morning, a partnership between us and the Lord, where we make our plans and he directs our footsteps. It's not one or the other, it's both. And when we come to these seasons when there are several routes in front of us, as long as we're not in rebellion, as long as we're not willfully taking a route we shouldn't be walking down, you know, if you do that, you're in trouble. Absolute trouble. I remember prophesying over a couple once that there was they were on a ski slope. I saw someone cross on a ski slope, and there was crossed poles over a route. Don't go down that route. Don't go down that route. But within a year and a half, the guy had chosen to go down a route he shouldn't have gone down. And they end up getting divorced. You know, so if we're in rebellion, there are routes which are bad to go down, dangerous to go down. But if we're not, if we're seeking the Lord, if we're seeking to do his will, if we're seeking to walk with him, then actually, I really honestly believe that the Lord says, okay, which route do you want to go out of these good routes? Which of these good routes do you want to take? Because I want to hear from your heart. I want to hear from you. Where do you want to go today? What do you want to do with your life? Because I am the God who likes to give you a ride the tank. I am the God who wants to give you your heart's desires. And not just to give you your heart's desires, to do immeasurably more, imaginably more, way above, far and beyond anything you can dream or think about. I don't want you to go in the old kind of Russian dust bucket. I want you to go in the, supercharged, the most powerful tank on the world. You know, I want you to go in the big, the real deal. I want the best for you. But before I give you that, actually, you know, what do you really want to do? And we'll supercharge it. Yeah, I really believe that. I really believe that. So when this young lad was then faced with certain other choices, I just said, look, the Lord is going to bless him. Those are good choices he's got in front of him. The Lord is going to bless him, going to establish him in one of those routes. Let him know that. Deepen it. You know, let him know it. Don't grieve over the missed route, but know that these other routes are good and the Lord will bless him and establish him in it. So it says, the mind of a man plans his way, but the Lord directs his steps in the NASB. In the NIV, it says, in his heart a man plans his course, but the Lord determines his steps. That sounds much more like, it doesn't really matter what you do, what you think you're going to do, what you plan. Actually, I'm going to determine where you're going to go, doesn't it? Yeah? That's what it sounds like. And of course, you know, anybody that knows me knows that the NIV is written by people that actually wholeheartedly believe that as one of their main doctrines, the sovereignty of the Lord, which is a good doctrine, but actually I think just overbalanced a little bit. And here it's a bit overbalanced, because that word determine is not determines. It's not really directs. The Hebrew word is kun. Now, I'm not a Hebrew scholar, but I can look it up in a Hebrew lexicon and find out what it means. And if you look up that word, it's used over 200 times in the Bible. And majority of the times, it's used in the way of establishing. Which is why I like the third version much better, the English Standard Version. The heart of a man plans his way, but the Lord establishes his steps. Do you get the difference there? All of a sudden, there's me and God in this now. The paths are opening up before me, and I get to choose which path to walk down. Wow. What an awesome responsibility for my life and for those around me. I get to choose that freely. Okay, God may speak into it at times to encourage us down a certain path, but I get to choose whether I'll be faithful, whether I'll choose. But, hang on, it's not all down to me. It's not all down to me. Because in my choices, it's a partnership, and God establishes the footsteps. I'm glad it's not all down to me. I don't know if you relate to that, but I'm glad my life's not all down to my choices. I'm glad that the Lord establishes our footsteps. See, the NIV gives you that route that God is in control, that he's determined it all, that he's sovereignly directing us. And I think the English Standard Version is a whole lot more faithful to the original Hebrew word, which means to be firm, to be stable, to be prepared, to be established in something. So the Lord's going to give us firm footsteps, stable footsteps, established footsteps, which won't slip around. I won't trip over and fall over and hurt myself. Because it really, the same path can be treacherous, or it can be a stroll in the sunshine. It can be treacherous, or it can be easy peasy. There's a little ridge in the Lake District called Sharp Edge. Anybody been on it? Just me. And it's got a reputation for being quite a scary place. I thought, oh, let's go up there, guys, come on. And some of the guys wanted to go up the grassy plain, up the stroll, up the hill, around the back. And, you know, let's go up to this sharp edge. So we took a small group up there. But it was a lovely sunny day. And we got to the sharp edge. And we walked across it and said, where is this sharp edge? And we reached the top and we thought, I didn't even notice sharp edge. It's because sharp edge is just a massive slab of smooth rock. And when you're walking up it in the dry, in bright sunshine, you can skip along it. But when you're walking up it in the wind and the rain, on a smooth rock, which is 30 or 40 meters long. It's scary, because one slip means you could potentially fatally injure yourself. You get that from the Bible in the crossing of the Red Sea, don't you? The Lord directed their steps. The Lord established the steps of Moses. That path across the Red Sea, Moses chose to take it. He didn't have much option because the Egyptian army was all around there somewhere. But he chose that route. And the Lord established his footsteps. They were firm. He crossed over. All the Israelites crossed over. The same path, a few hours later, the Egyptians go into quite boldly. We're going to go down this path. We're choosing this path. Okay, Pharaoh's told us to, but we're going down it. It's treacherous. They all drown. Because it's the Lord who establishes our footsteps. If you've got a Bible, turn to Psalm 18. Psalm of David. It's a lovely psalm. Just going to read verse 36. And actually, Kerry Davis didn't know this, but I met her in the week. She didn't know I was meditating on all of this. And she gave me this verse, and I thought, thank you, Lord. I love the way the Lord adds these things to us as we're just meditating. Verse 36. You enlarge my steps under me, and my feet have not slipped. Do you just love that? What a picture that is. You enlarged my steps under me. My feet have not slipped. You get the impression that they're all the path's quite a dangerous path that David's been down. It's like Sharp Edge or Crib Goch on Snowdon Horseshoe. That's another scary place, potentially, in the wind and rain. But the Lord enlarged David's steps under him so that despite all the crazy things that David saw, he was there. Because this psalm, right, Psalm 18, is a direct copy of the psalm that David writes at the end of his life in 2 Samuel chapter 22. It's a word-for-word copy. So it's at the end of David's life he's writing this. And you get the picture that he's looked back over his life and he's seen his life as a walk. And he's seen the Lord with him, enlarging his steps every step of the way. When he stood up to the lion, that was a dangerous step to take. When he stood up to the bear, that was a dangerous step to take. When he stood up to Goliath, that was a dangerous step to take. But the Lord enlarged the footsteps of David when he stepped out that way. And he succeeded, he overcame. When he refused to harm Saul, a man who was hell-bent on killing him, and he was in his power, David refused to harm him. That was a dangerous decision for David to make, a dangerous path to go down. But the Lord enlarged his steps. And you get the funny pictures of Saul chasing David around the countryside and missing him on one side of the mountain and as they go on the other side. As he hid in the cave, the Lord enlarged his steps, gathered men to him. As he lived with his enemies, even one time pretending to be mad in front of the Philistines, because he knew that if he was mad, they wouldn't kill him, because it's bad luck to kill a madman. The Lord enlarged his steps. They didn't kill him. Even when other men seem to have done stuff to us, or around us, which has determined our paths, God is able to establish our footsteps. Look at the story of Joseph, sold into slavery. The Lord established him in slavery. Betrayed into prison. The Lord established him in prison. Even when the path is chosen for us and we feel powerless to choose a different path, even then, if we remain faithful, if we remain constant, God establishes our footsteps. That's a really good thing to know. Yet, when you know that if you're cast into slavery, God is going to establish you. When you know if you're cast into prison, even there, God is going to establish you. All of a sudden, you have a new freedom in life. A new freedom to adventure. because you know the Lord is determining your steps. He's directing your steps. He's enlarging the feet and the ground underneath you so you won't slip. See, Psalm 37 could have been written for Joseph. It's got that verse in, the Lord loves to give you your heart's desire. It says, don't fret when evil men succeed in their ways. Don't fret when men plot and scheme, when they seem to be doing you over or doing other people. Don't fret about that. Trust in the Lord. Do good. Dwell at peace. The Lord's going to give you your heart's desire. Could have been written for Joseph. It's a shame it came too late for him. But he kind of lived it, didn't he? Read verses 23 and 24. I was also blameless with him, and I kept myself from my iniquity. Well, David, it's a bit of poetic license there, mate. Because he didn't really, did he? But on the whole, he did. On the whole, he did. He had moments when he let himself down, when he let the Lord down, and he let other people down. According, he said, I have kept myself from my iniquity. Therefore, the Lord has recompensed me according to my righteousness and according to my... Oh, that's not... I meant Psalm 37. Sorry, Psalm 37. Wrong Psalm. Psalm 37, verse 23 to 24. The steps of a man are established by the Lord, and he delights in his way. When he falls, he will not be hurled headlong, because the Lord is the one who holds his hand. I love that picture. Do you get that? So many times in my life, I look at that picture and think, wow, thank you, Jesus, that you are Emmanuel. You are God with us, that you're holding my hand. Yesterday, I was sorting through some stuff in the garage, and I came across this picture. You can't see it, it's a bit blurred. It was taken with a camera, an old-fashioned camera, so I had to scan it in. But that is me in the Lake District with young Rachel about 8 years ago, maybe 9 years ago. And you can see we're holding hands, and she's skipping over the hills, over the rocks. And if you remember nothing else from what I say today, I want you to picture that and hold it in your heart. That's how we walk through life with the Lord. We can skip over the mountains. He's made my feet like deer's feet, so I can tread on my high places. Habakkuk said it. David said it in Psalm 18. If I want you to leave you one picture, it's to see yourself as walking with Father over the hills of life, over the ridges, over the mountaintops. Because when we know this, we can walk in the most difficult places. Absolute security. David says it in Psalm 18, verse 33. He said, he makes my feet like hinds feet and sets me upon my high places. In these days when we're, those of us that are stepping out on new directions, choosing new paths, it's good to know that. That we can skip down them. You know, when I was on holiday in Cornwall this month, we went on a clifftop walk from Bew down towards Crackington Haven. And I was walking, it's the first time I've really done a long walk with my son, John, who's only three. And it was a fantastic day, great fun, but quite tiring. And a number of times, John and I have walked hand in hand for a lot of it, and a number of times he stumbled. A number of times he was swinging in the air because my hand caught hold of him and he didn't fall over. One time he wasn't actually holding on to my hand and he fell into the thorn bushes, got prickles all over him. But that wasn't so good. But do you see the picture? holding our Father's hand. Even if we make a mistake, even if we trip, actually he's going to hold us up. He's not going to let us fall. Or if we do fall, he'll pick us back up. It won't be fatal. So, having said that God doesn't want to control us, I just want to say, oh, it's, time's run out, isn't it? I better not do the rest of my talk. Oops. Okay. I just want to say quickly, that having said that, the Lord does love to direct us. One of my favourite verses is in Psalm 32, verses 8 and 9, where the Lord says, I will instruct you and teach you in the way you should go. I will counsel you with my eye upon you. Do not be as the horse or as the mule, which have no understanding, whose trappings include bit and bridle, to hold them in check, otherwise they will not come near to you. What a picture that is. What a picture. God doesn't want us to be like a horse.
Yeah, control. Just saying that.
He doesn't want that. He doesn't want to control us to make us come near. He said, I will instruct you. I will guide you. But I'm going to do it in a much more gentle way than that. And I'm going to leave you dignity and choice. And if you want my instruction, what do you have to do? You listen. Simple as that. Listen. Because Jesus says, my sheep know my voice. My sheep know my voice. And if you want to be guided by my eye, what do you have to do? Who? What? Watch far. Yeah, you have to keep your eye on. Which is why, you know, the writer of Hebrews encourages us to say, fix your eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, for the joy set before him. You know, embrace such troubles. Cast off the sin that so easily entangles. Run that path smoothly by fixing your eye on Jesus. I will guide you, says the Lord, but I'm not going to be strong about it. If you want to know, I say, go that way. That way. With a look. With a word. The Lord loves it. And he asks him for signs, asks him for ways. You know, I have one great story about God just showing me a sign. But one time I was just caught up in a turmoil about the path to take. I didn't know which path to take. Both of them looked okay, but I wanted to hear from the Lord on it. So I prayed to the Lord. And I said, Lord, there are bullfinches and waxwings in the country. I know there are in the neighbourhood, and I'd like to see both of them. Waxwings aren't native, so if I see a waxwing, I'm going to change the direction I'm going in. But if I see a bullfinch, they're native, so I'm going to keep going in the direction I've been going in, because both routes look good to me. Like, I have no idea which way to go. And at the time, Paul was really excited. He was working in Slough. I said, Colin, you've got to come to Slough and see the waxwings. They're outside my office. It's fantastic. I'm saying, Paul, you probably couldn't understand my reluctance because I'm a bit of a twitcher. Yeah. You thought I was backslidden. But no, brother. You know, they had a different thing. But and I didn't go over. I said, no, I'm not going to come over. I didn't want to force God's hand in it. I didn't want to chase the sign. And did you know, that week, the Lord brought a whole flock of waxwings to my garden every day for a month. Paul came to my garden to see them. I've never seen them before in my life. I've seen them once since, I think. But, you know, every day for a month, that was God's answer to me. And God loves to guide us like that when we're really stuck. Really stuck. He does. So I want to leave us with that. I just want to pray for folk, because I know this is a time of the season of change. And a lot of us here are facing change and making choices about the path we're going to go on next. And we need to know that the Lord directs our steps. The Lord establishes our step.